Hey everyone, did you know that there is a video version of this podcast episode? We now have a YouTube channel where a video version of each podcast is uploaded with visuals. We recommend checking out the video format as the visual references will make it much easier to follow along. We also have on our YouTube channel other content such as battle reports, which are not available in this podcast format. You can find the link to our YouTube channel in the description of this podcast, or just search Into the West Podcast on YouTube. Welcome everyone to another video of Into the West Podcast. My name is Charles. Joining me are Richard and Ian. And we're here introducing a brand new segment. It is the bracket. So in the bracket, we have a list of profiles where they will be matched up against each other and end with a final winner. So in this video's topic, it is the worst hero of the game.
Yeah, so a little bit about the bracket style for any sports fans out there is like a single elimination type of a playoff bracket. We'll have 16 of some of the worst hero profiles that we think in the game. A bit of a caveat though, this isn't a ranking episode because of how the seedings are set up. They're kind of subjective, and because of single elimination style, only like the first place really matters. We're trying to find out what the worst hero profile is. If you're second to 15th place, it doesn't really matter that much. Like if you're second, doesn't necessarily mean that you're the second worst profile, although you're probably still a pretty bad profile. You know what they say, if you're not first, you're last. But in this case, that's probably a good thing.
What all of these profiles have in common is that they're all terrible. So we picked 16 of what we think are the worst, and let's dive right into round one, and we'll kind of go over our reasons and pick the winner of each round.
So the way that we seeded this, even though it's subjective, we do have some sort of process to it. The higher seeds are the ones that all three of us all agreed are in contention for probably one of the worst profiles. And the ones with the lower seeds, maybe only one or two of us have brought up, and then, you know, one of us didn't necessarily agree with.
Before we start the first matchup, let's just quickly go through any honorable mentions on our minds that didn't make the top 16 cut, because I'm sure we all know that there are more heroes that sort of deserve to be on this list.
So I guess my first honorable mention is probably the Captain of Minas Tirith. He's kind of, you know, a jack of all trades, but master of none. And there really are so many other named hero profiles in the Minas Tirith list that can just do what he does, but better. So I don't really see a point in taking him anymore.
Yeah, you don't see him very much because there's also the King of Men profile. I don't think he's quite there with the worst heroes just because he does have the shield wall. And I think he's solid enough. I think if you're going to go with a bad captain, you have to talk about the Black Shield, Moria Goblin Black Shield captain. You know, you're forced to take two-handed and you're paying for the hatred. It's not great.
So some of my picks will probably be from the Scouring of the Shire supplement. We want to have a variety in our top 16, but many of the heroes from the Scouring of the Shire book, I think, could be argued to be on this list. One of my picks would be Hamfast Gaffer Gamgee. He's a 35-point hobbit hero, and he can place down flowers, which give friendly hobbits reroll ones to wound. Now, these flowers, they kind of have some shenanigan potential, but your enemies can remove them by being in base contact with them. So it's like he doesn't do all that much.
I did read that profile thoroughly while like making my choice, and the flowers, you can go through it, but you can't end your move on it. Yeah, like you said, allow for some shenanigans. Like I would say, like, seize the prize. You can block off the prize objective in the center on the opponent's side, or like destroy the supplies. You could make it a little bit harder. So I think it has some potential there.
Okay. Yeah. No, there's definitely shenanigans there.
Flowers OP.
Okay. So those are some of our honorable mentions that didn't make the list. Now, without further ado, let's dive right into the first matchup. So we have Bill Ferney from the Sharky's Rogue list versus the Angmar Orc Shaman.
This is the shaman that has Wither and Instill Fear, right?
That's right.
Okay. And then what does Bill Ferney do?
He's the one that gives you minus one to the roll of one of your enemy's Maelstrom deployments, which can be good or bad. If they roll a two, then you're helping them.
Yeah, so you have to nominate who it is before they roll the die.
Yeah, at the start of the game. Yeah.
He has a few other, like, you know, hobbit specialty rules that makes him like a beast against hobbits, but, you know, let's not count that.
For 40 points, that's a lot of ruffians you can be taking. Now, the Angmar Orc Shaman, have any of you seen this in game? Because I feel like people getting into Angmar will be like, yes, I'm going to take a shaman in my list. They go to the profile and they don't see the fury.
I actually have seen him, and it was a competitive game. It was my first time at Nova, and it was like against Joshua Lawrence from Chicago. And I think this was like one of the top tables too. And it was a little bit of a funky list, but he did have the Angmar Shaman. Sure, it's not like the greatest, but you know, he did throw a few withers on like Thranduil, and it was a bit annoying. So I think, yeah, a regular shaman's probably almost always going to be better, but he does something.
So he's the same cost as a Barrow White. A Barrow White has 5 will and a better spell.
Yeah. The only time you can argue is that you have a lot of casters in your list that can wear down the enemy's will, because generally the heroes you want to wither will probably have some kind of will or resistance that you'll need to wear down first.
I mean, yeah. Is it a 12-inch range?
12-inch, yeah.
Okay. So that's the one advantage he has over the Barrow White, because he can actually start trying to reduce, you know, reduce the enemy's resources earlier, because the Barrow Right range is only 6.
And what is it, 2-up or a 3-up?
3-up.
Yeah, so that's...
I think you're still going to take the Barrow Right, though, because he can lead 12, and the Shaman can only do 6. So in this context, though, the Shaman versus Bill Ferney, I think the Shaman's a little bit better.
I mean, there's a reason why Bill Ferney is the number one seed. He's the favorite, too. Win or lose it all. So we all agree on him. So I'll give him a 3-0 here.
Oh, cool. All right.
So all Bill right. Ferney moves on. In our second round, we have Barlaman Butterbur versus the Knight of Umbar.
So the Knight is the one who mimics fight value or strength or attacks, right?
Yes.
For a point of will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does he have any other special rule besides that?
Yes. If he wins the fight, he does not lose will.
Ah, okay. You're still spending a resource.
And no heroic strike on him.
Yeah. And then Barlaman is the one who he gives stuff back to the Fellowship on a 5-up?
I think it's 5 to regular heroes and then 4-up to Fellowship members.
It's something like that. But then there is also something with Build a Pony.
Yeah. Yeah. You get Build a Pony for cheaper.
And he also treats Bill like a banner.
Oh, he's got the Hobbit ability. Ooh.
Yeah.
He is 40 points, though, which is pretty hefty, I would say.
So I counted up the Fellowship list, and when you take all the Fellowship members, you're at about 750 to 800 points. So I feel like if you're going to take models after that, You would probably take Bill first before him. You might even take Smeagol before him because he's a 2-attack, 2-wound fight 4. You might take Arwen before him. So he's really, I think other than like a fantasy fellowship kind of campaign narrative kind of situation, he's not going to be in your list unless you're running like 1,000 points fellowship.
I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like, you know, you get the main 7 who are actually kind of good. Sorry, Merry and Pippin. And then maybe you go for him and Bill the Pony. And then maybe, I mean, Arwen's kind of maybe Arwen first, and then you go for them. But it's kind of where I'm landing.
Yeah, I guess if you're going for, like, the unkillable heroes, like, just heal them up, you know, maybe take a Tom Bombadil as well.
Well, okay. Yeah, that would definitely do it. But, I mean, so if you have him and Bill the Pony kind of, like, regenerating stuff on, like, the ones who are actually, like, good at fighting, that seems reasonable.
The downside of taking him is you only get the fellowship bonus like the breaking bonus if it's pure. So he's in Wanderers. Allying him in, you lose that part of the army bonus.
Does he count as green with them, though?
He counts as green, but he is an alliance.
He's still an alliance. Okay, that's pretty bad then. Never mind.
Okay, I guess just bring back like the comparison. I know the Knight of Umbar is like the worst ring wraith, the named ones, but at the end of the day, it is still like a wraith, and I feel like the floor is probably just a little bit higher than Barleyman, which is almost like a purely thematic profile.
Yeah, agreed. He's still a wraith.
Okay.
Are we okay with that?
Yes. I would ask the person who's running Knight of Umbar why, but yes, he is a profile.
Oh, there was another honorable mention, like his companion, his compadre, Harry Goatleaf from the same book. But I actually think that Harry Goatleaf's profile allows for a bit of shenanigans there, whereas like I think Barleyman is, you know, he's almost like a war gear. Like, he doesn't really do much but heal your heroes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The next matchup, we have Gothmog's Enforcer versus the King's Huntsman. The King's Huntsman, it might be a little bit of a hot take. I know some people who are really big fans of the King's Huntsman. And Ian, you used to be a fan of the King's Huntsman, right?
Oh, man, I still think one of these days I'll be able to run him and he'll actually do something. I don't know. He's been sitting in my case for a long, long time.
I think you could argue like a really cheesy strategy where I would want to do was like pre-gambling banner nerf. If you just have a line of them and they're all burning might and they all regenerate might, you know, at the same time every turn, that would be, I think, quite fun to run and maybe semi-decent. But then now that only one hero gets the might back, I don't know.
The thing is, he hits on threes and he's a good model. Like, he's from the good side. How many rounds of shooting do you normally get in a game with a hero like that? Four, if you're like kiting. And at least one of those shots he's going to miss because he still hits on a three. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, maybe he is the one model in the game that you really do want to just stick up on like the highest point on the board. But like, that's still kind of central to where the fighting is. So he'll always have line of sight on something because then at least he has a chance to do something every turn. But I don't know, if he could shoot into combat like Legolas still with a two up, I think he'd be fine. But because he can't and he only gets a couple rounds of shooting, he's not great.
And also keep in mind that I don't believe he's in any Rohan Legendary Legions, which I feel like
he's in Helm's Guard.
Is he Helm's in Helm's Guard? Oh, okay.
Might be in Defenders.
He is in Defenders and Helm's Deep.
What I'm saying is that we see all these Legendary Legions running around and like I just rarely see the profile.
Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah. Okay, Gothmog's Enforcer. Why wouldn't you just take any other three might hero? So he has, what is he? His heroic stats are 1-3-1, I think. And he allows Gothmog can use his will points to do heroic moves and marches.
That's it. No, I think
just moves. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's pretty bad. I remember it being like bad.
He's on the same page as one of the best orc heroes, Gurritz, and they're the same points.
He's 60
points? He's 60.
He's only fight four, too, right?
Yep.
Does he have any heroics that are useful?
Defense.
With one might.
Still, though, defense on an evil model, that's kind of rare.
I think the issue is that as Gothmog, half the time, you're probably not going to be calling the heroic move, right?
Yeah.
Very situational.
Yeah. He's also an Uruk-hai, too. So if you're running Army of Gothmog, he's not going to get the courage buff from the shaman.
He's an orc.
Oh, he's an orc.
Yeah. Okay. He's wearing like Morannon orc armor, but for some reason he's not strength 5. For like being a Morannon hero, he's only strength 4. But
the prosthetics in the movie, he does look like an Uruk-hai.
Yeah. Maybe that must be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Richard brings up a good point, though. Like, you're not going to be calling heroic moves with Gothmog, and also you're trying to get as many master battles off as possible, right? So I feel like if you did take the Enforcer in a lot of games, maybe you just don't even use all three will because you're trying to max out your master battle.
Yeah, you want to call with somebody else if you need to and then try and mimic it with Gothmog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't see him adding any value really to a list. I mean, I don't know how much value King's Huntsman adds, but I feel like it adds a little bit. You know, it's something that Rohan doesn't really have. It's a shooting hero. That's decent, I guess. But
I think you can have fun with the King's Huntsman. I don't know if you would have fun if you took the Enforcer.
Yeah, and I think I would probably give the edge to the Enforcer here as being like worse, just because I think, like you said, there's people who argue for the King's Huntsman and will swear by them, whereas like I don't think anyone is swearing by Gothmog's Enforcer.
Not even Gothmog.
Gothmog's swearing about him.
Okay, so the next matchup we have is Ori, Champion of Erebor, against Bert the Troll. So this is the armored Ori from Erebor Reclaimed, and I'm one of the ones that picked this one. He's useful in Thorn's Company because of his shenanigans with the slingshot, but in this one, he basically loses the slingshot and gains heavy armor and not much else. He's still at one might, so in a list where like you have so many heroes, like literally this list has more than a dozen heroes to choose from, it's just not worth 55 points in my opinion, which I think if you're going to go hero heavy build in Erebor Reclaimed, you want to take as much might as possible. So I just feel like there isn't ever a reason to take him unless you're just doing it for theme.
I think actually he's fight three in the other version. So, I mean, yeah, fight four isn't great. Is he strength three or strength four? I think he's still strength three.
Three in this one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he has a two-handed axe, but still, like, fight four, strength three for 55 points is, it's an oof. I mean, does he have, like, a heroic defense or something that would be useful?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, but one might point, though. Yeah, it's not great.
The only argument that I would say is he essentially gives, like, a slightly better version of like, not better, but different version of like Blood and Glory, right? And in an all hero list, I guess you can argue that that can be useful. Like you're not expecting to do much fighting with him. In a regular list, I agree, he's not going to do much for you. But, you know, if you have like, you know, three heroes all around him, four heroes, he's just surrounded by them, like you could probably get off quite a few of his special rules in the game.
Yeah, he's going up against Bert the Troll, who we talked about him a little bit in our monsters tier list with the Last Alliance of Noobs and Men. Basically, he is the hero of fortitude in the Troll's army list, so you can't really ally him. And his special basically requires the campfire in order to get his special to activate.
Yeah, and just like being in that list of the three trolls, like Tom and the big one, Bill, just outshines him by quite a bit. So,
oh man, this is a tough matchup. I think the fight seven troll is still a fight seven troll, though.
Yeah, you will only see him in a pure trolls list, so at like what 450 points, something like that, or you ally all three of them into like Goblin Town or something.
But yeah, even when you ally them in, it's you usually grab the other two first, right?
I guess very similar for Ori. Like, you probably wouldn't play him unless you play, like, a pure Champions of Erebor list.
I was going to say, for Ori, maybe you'd bring him if you're running, like, the Erebor Reclaimed with a bunch of guys and you want a cheaper guy to lead 12 Iron Hills. But there's so many heroes of Valor in that list. And there's, yeah, you're not really going to be struggling for warband slots.
These two are both really bad. I think Ori's slightly worse, and my reasoning is because Ori is outshined by like 15 different dwarf heroes. Bert is outshined by Bill and Tom.
Okay, different reasoning, but yeah, I mean, yeah, he's still a troll. Fight seven with two might. Like, that's still something, right?
Yeah.
And all right. No controversy yet. We've agreed so far.
See, oh, if this one's going to be controversy.
Let's see. So we have Peregrine Took versus Meriadoc Brandybuck. So these are the two armored versions of the hobbits from Minas Tirith and Rohan.
But still only one attack. Sadness.
Yeah, so the reason why we didn't go with the fellowship ones, even though those are crap too, is because those are 10 points. So it's like, fine. But I think these ones are 25 base. And then like Mary, you can buy a pony, you could buy like Elven Cloak, you can buy a shield. Like we're talking about like close to 40 points geared out. Like I think the main difference is that Peregrine has heroic defense, whereas Mary has heroic strike.
And then don't they have a special rule each, or am I thinking of their...
That's the scouring version.
Oh, okay. So they don't have any special rules. Then Mary doesn't have the horn yet?
No.
Oh.
He'd be too good then.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so, these are not great.
It's a close one. So I think Pippin has a slightly worse profile because I don't know if you would take a shield if you brought Mary, maybe. If you thought Mary was worth taking, you'd probably give him a shield. So he doesn't have the option for a shield, and I think strike might be slightly better than defense.
So personally, on like one of these crap heroes, I probably prefer defense because you can throw him at like a really expensive hero. Like Mary, like his strike, he's not gonna like take down an Aragorn or something, but you know, Peregrine can like stall him for a turn. But
okay, yeah, I was kind of leaning to say that Pippin was worse just because they're both still independent heroes, right? So you can't even lead guys. Yeah, I mean, the defense is better than the strike, I think. I agree on that point. But if you're going to take a hero in this price range in Minas Tirith, you have four other options, and they can all lead troops.
For five more points, you can have Baragond, which is a much better profile that can lead.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the defense, but he can lead the six troops, right? And then you also have Damrod, and you got the two Angborn and Madelung.
Denethor.
There's so many other low point options that, and like any of them are better than him. And then Mary also pseudo, you kind of end up playing him as a dismount when Durnhelm gets dismounted. So I think Pippin's probably the worst pick for me.
Yeah. And just to add on, you know, Myrdok, like the combo with Gamling's Banner because of his like low might is pretty good. If you don't have another like King's Huntsman or something in the list, like you can just spam your might for heroics.
And just having a mount option. He can keep up with the Cav list, maybe.
Okay, so no upsets so far still. Number two seed, you know.
Okay, so in our sixth match, we have Lobelia Sackville-Baggins versus Falco Boffin. So this is a Hobbit-on-Hobbit round, which... do you guys think is worse? So just a reminder, Lobelia is the one that prevents Standfast and cannot strike if she wins a fight. Falco, he's essentially Frodo's enforcer. So he can use his will to allow Frodo to call heroic moves. They're both minor heroes, so they can both lead six.
Oh man, this is tricky actually, because the Shire is not like a might-rich list. And I don't think you mind calling heroic moves with Frodo, right? Like, he's just going to be sitting there providing his banner effect.
Frodo can't strike if he wins anyway, so you're not going to use him to fight.
Yeah, no, he's just going to be sitting behind, like, ranks and ranks of hobbits. So you're totally fine having him do the heroic moves. So 25 points for three heroic moves, that's not bad.
He's 20 points.
He's
fight 2, strength 2. D3, one attack, one wound, courage 3. My will fate is 031, and he's unarmed.
Oh. I mean, he's just going to sit at the back with Frodo anyway.
So he's arguably a worse fighter than Lobelia.
Yeah, but at least he can still hit things. Lobelia just refuses.
So the thing about Lobelia is, to me, she doesn't really synergize with a Shire list because she prevents your enemies from using Standfast, but generally... in most scenarios, the goal of a Hobbit, of a Shire list, is not to break your opponent. It's to like capture objectives, avoid combat, and stuff like that. So I don't see it really synergizing with your army if you're going to play pure.
Deters only stop enemy standfasts?
All standfasts. Like, basically, it doesn't allow any warriors to benefit from standfasts on either side.
I think Falco is probably more useful than her then, because she can directly like damage your army.
I think our first disagreement, I personally like Lobelia, just because I think there's shenanigan potential there. I agree, probably not as good in a pure Shire list, but I think Shire does have a few allies. And, you know, if you're going to ally some high courage models or some fearless models, you know, ally in like Lady of Light that, you know, gives the Harbinger special rule. So enemies will be able to like run away even faster. So I just feel like you can add something there. Like there's a level of depth to the strategy, whereas, you know, Falco is like, you know, he's kind of whatever for me. But, you know, if I'm going to get outvoted, then it is what it is.
I feel like being able to call three heroic moves is going to help you out more consistently through all your games, right? Rather than having something that will only trigger once one force is broken. And it also affects you, right? So if your force breaks, she can't even run away and get out of and stop affecting any of your troops if she moves first. She only moves 4 inches. I mean, I don't know how much of a factor that could be, but
I'm just saying, though, that there's a lot of low courage like heroes, especially for evil, that like you can really like take advantage of. Like, even if it's like an orc captain that's running away, like how often do you see that? And then like a whole war band of orcs just running, following that, you know, that could turn things around for you.
I don't know. I mean, like, I agree, but I think I still think the heroic moves will be end up being better.
I'm going to go with Ian on this one. Falco's slightly better.
All right. So Lobelia moves on.
Okay. In the next matchup, we have a Stormcaller battle. So we have the Rivendell Stormcaller versus the Lothlorien Stormcaller.
Battle of the Ages.
And you know, I know I've defended these guys. Well, I defended one of them before. And I stand by that choice. They're still both so bad, though. I did fight for it to only have one of them on this list, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't, honestly, like, if you're going to take them, you're going to take them for the call wins.
Yeah. So you're admitting that they're pretty much on the same level.
They're pretty much the same. That being said, I think the occasional possible enchant blades is better than a 4+ chance to maybe give somebody will 50% of the time. It's a very small pip, but I think it's enough to make
it. It's basically a spell against spell showdown, right? Because there's no other difference between the profiles.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just say the strength and will, unless you're doing something cheesy like with an Alfred or something. Yeah, I agree. Enchanted Blades is probably better.
Yeah. And even then, you're like, you're still probably not using that.
The
Rivendell's worse.
Yeah. The strength and will.
Yeah, he's the strength and will.
And in our final matchup, we have two titans. We have Rain the Broken against the Moria Dragon.
He's only a titan if he rolls double, what is it, double fours, fives, and sixes?
Yeah, any doubles that pass, yeah.
And he's curse 4?
Yeah.
So double threes.
Yeah, get that war horn in there.
I mean, you can if you're taking it with Hunter Orcs.
Okay, so the reason why I think he's one of the worst heroes is your pain points for potentially helping your enemy. Like if you fail your courage test, you pay 10 points to give them a hero.
But in a way, it's kind of like, you know, he's like a worse version of like Denethor. Like Denethor, like, you kind of work with that rule. I understand Thrain is much worse. But, you know, my argument for why the dragon is worse is it's just so much more expensive. Like, if you're telling me you have to podium at an upcoming tournament of 800 points, I would much rather take Thrain the Broken for 10 points and shove him into my list and make it work. I feel like I still have a chance at podium. But if you're telling me to podium with the dragon, I'm going to be like, you know, no promises. So.
Thrain is, he's only 10 points. He's 2 more points than a Hunter Orc. Like, you can find 2 points if you want to take him. And I mean, I guess if, you know, if you want to take the Warhorn in there anyway, which I think a lot of Hunter Orc people do, he's reasonable at passing his courage tests. And even if he doesn't get the doubles, still having like a fight four model in that army is actually kind of handy.
Guys, why are you talking about Warhorns? Just ally him into White Council.
Oh, I forgot he could go into... Okay, that's the list he could go into.
He is better as an evil model, though, because as an evil model, you can kill him if you need to. You can't kill him when you're playing him as good. And just think about it. Like, you're just throwing him into, like, the enemy leader, and conditionally, he's going to be a fight six, three attack hero, which is insane.
I mean, okay, maybe it's good for the meme. So, like, you only get one shot at that, Richard, though.
Hey, he's kind of like a Raza, but you also don't know if he's going to go. and I remember, you like work. Raza.
I do like Raza. And I think I like Thrain more in this than the dragon.
So I picked Thrain the Broken, but I didn't pick the dragon as my top eight. So I'm just going to defend why the dragon is better. He has breathe fire, and I think any model that has access to a tool that can instantly remove and delete models on the table has some kind of potential. Sure, he's probably over 50 points overcosted. Sure, he has survival instinct on a 300 point plus model, but in like a big point game, he has a chance of flying in and just removing LSR from the map. You know, that's something. Yeah, that's it. That's all I have to say about him.
I mean, I've also defended the dragon, but he's just so many more points. And Thrain is so cheap for a meme. If Thrain was like 20 points, I'd be like, yeah, he's probably worse. But okay, just 10 points, like, who cares?
Wait, so are we going for the upset? Ian?
Yeah, I think the dragon is worse, man. And I like the dragon. I've tried to defend the dragon before, but it's just like, you can't compare the points cost. Like, it's
So we have 11th seed upsetting 6th seed. This is just like March Madness.
So, you guys ready for round two? So we have the top eight. In the first matchup, we have Bill Ferney against Barleyman Butterbur.
Okay. So since we've already gone through like the profiles, I think it'll just come down to which one do you think you would more likely take or want to take if you were to build a competitive list?
I think Bill Ferney is still worse. Barleyman, you can argue he's overcosted or he doesn't add much to your list, but at least he doesn't have a chance of making your list worse.
Yeah. But would you take Bill Ferney more often in a Sharky's Rogue list versus like a All Fellowship?
Well, in the Legion, you have to. The rules for the Legion is you have to take every hero. It's mandatory. I don't think that's a reason that he's better. If you don't take the Legion, then I probably wouldn't take him. I'd probably just rather do the non-hero warbands and just take 9 or 10 more ruffians instead of him.
Yeah, I think Bill Ferney's probably worse. Because Barleyman's rule, unless you're really bad at rolling, you know, 4 pluses or 5 pluses, it should come into effect every game. So if you went to like a 5-game tournament, it'll come into effect every game. Bill's is going to show up in maybe 1 game, maybe 2, because it's only the random deployment ones, right? So yeah.
In a way, Barleyman also makes your list worse because you take out the Fellowship's army bonus with the Frodo. But
yeah, but he still gives something back more consistently, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so next we have Gothmog's Enforcer versus Ori, Champion of Erebor.
I like how they both have might shenanigans, though. There's a lot of these guys in this list that have these shenanigans. It's interesting. I think Ori is slightly better. That's my first impression.
You're wasting 55 points instead of 60 points. Okay, so Ori has the chance of giving stuff back, but only if your hero kills other heroes or monsters, right? So I think that has more potential. Gothmog, I feel like every turn that you use the Enforcer's Will, you're potentially giving up Master of Battle. Because let's say you call a free heroic move with the Enforcer, and then your enemy counters. If you copy that with Master of Battle, you're just giving up the will, right? It's not like the Enforcer gets the will back, right? So.
All right. Enforcer is worse here?
I think the Enforcer is worse.
Yeah, I'd agree. Enforcer is probably worse.
I think my only thing where I think I actually would vote contrary to you guys is I think there's just so many dwarves in Erebor Reclaimed that like Ori's really honestly like never really realistically going to show up. Whereas I think Gothmog's Enforcer, especially if you take something like Army of Gothmog, I think he can be like not great, but still like not the worst thing to take there. I don't know. I don't have a strong argument for it, to be honest.
I'm trying. Make it 2-1. There, done. Make it 2-1.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who's the one, but one of us is.
So our next matchup is Peregrine Took against Lobelia Sackville Baggins. Wow, another Hobbit on Hobbit.
You guys better not advance Lobelia.
Well, now I want to. Yeah, no, I think Peregrine's just worse.
Yeah, yeah. Lobelia can at least, even if you hate her special rule, at least she can lead six hobbits.
Yeah, there's right? Yeah, there's something there. The only thing Peregrine has is the heroic defense for a turn, but even then, he's still only, what, one wound, two fate?
Yeah.
And so he can still die, yeah.
He's just way too expensive for such like a crap profile.
If he had two wounds, two fate with a heroic defense, he could actually do that holding up a hero consistently for like a turn at least. But yeah, not with just one.
The final matchup of this round is the Rivendell Stormcaller against the Dragon.
Okay, I think the Dragon might be better than the Stormcaller. This Stormcaller. If it was the Lothlorien Stormcaller, you know, it'd be totally different.
I think the Call Winds is still a good spell, but there's just so many points for him.
Gah, Call Winds is still good, though.
Okay, so if you were to go to Articon, would you rather build a list with the Dragon or Rivendell Stormcaller?
Oh.
Like, we've never gone to Articon
before,
and it would be a big opportunity. We're spending, like, thousands of dollars.
Oh.
You got one shot.
And I have to... Oh, no. I choose Pippin.
Don't make less me points, choose.
Less points wasted. Oh, geez. I think the Stormcaller would be easier to build around. Because, like, if you take the Dragon, like, the Dragon becomes your list. It's, like, the mainstay of your list. Oh, fuck. Am I just completely switching my argument now?
The Stormcaller being a minor hero really messes up your warbands, though, sometimes.
Yeah.
I think I still might have to go with the Stormcaller being worse. But it's close.
I'm torn. I really don't know.
I'm going to say Stormcaller's slightly worse. I mean, I think Call Winds is a really good spell, but just on a bad profile.
All right. Ian, your vote doesn't really matter, but just let us know how you feel.
Okay, fine. Then I will say the Dragon is worse. Well, it doesn't really matter, but I guess because of that question, I think it'd be much easier to build a list around a Stormcaller. Like,
yeah.
You take a Dragon, your whole list is based around the Dragon. You take a Stormcaller, it's just a thing you have that could be helpful.
Yeah, that's fair. And plus, Articon is usually like 600, 650, so that would be probably even worse.
Yeah.
All right. So we're down to, is this what, our semifinals?
The funny thing is we have our number 1 to 4 seeds, so no true upsets here. As expected.
So are we going to have a battle for third place then?
No, just because like what I stated earlier, like because of like strength of schedule, like we don't really know if you know, it's like a true second or third.
That's fair.
So first matchup in the semifinals, we have Bill Ferney against Gothmog's Enforcer.
I think Gothmog's Enforcer has had a good run, but you can't really compare him. Like, he's a legitimate profile to, like, you know, a dud on Sharky's Rogues. You know, like, that whole list is already a meme. And then he's, like, a meme inside a meme.
Yeah, I think I agree.
I mean, Gothmog's Enforcer is an orc. He gets Time of the Orc. He gets hatred, men hatred, right? He gets those specials.
He shouldn't even be on this list.
He's got two attacks at fight four. Yeah, yeah. That's great.
And our other matchup is Peregrine Took against Rivendell Stormcaller. Okay. This is going to be an easy one for me. Okay. I actually think Pippin's better.
That's a hot take.
Yeah. Proceed.
I can see you slotting him into, like, because he's an independent hero, slotting into another warband and then giving a hero, like a striking hero, for example, you put him in Hurin's warband or, like, Gandalf's warband, and then Gandalf strikes up and then Pippin hero combat. Do something like that. You could do it for one turn. He also has resistance to magic. You can sit on an objective and he can throw stones and resist some magic.
I think you're over exaggerating his abilities here.
No, that was good. I like that.
Stormcaller is more than twice the points. I don't know.
My issue, I think, is like the move four. Like, the stuff that you're trying to pull off, yeah, we're usually like, heroic defense is good. Throw him into an enemy hero. It's like, what enemy hero is going to allow himself to be charged by Pippin? You know, if you're versing like a competent player, I think it's going to be really tough for him to be useful.
It doesn't matter if he has heroic defense. 1-6 is enough to kill him. Just one. Yeah, I still think the Stormcaller is better than Pippin. I mean, in their respective lists, you're not going to take either of them, really. But in this matchup, I think, I think Pippin's probably worse. And I just want to say, looking at our final matchup, I think it's kind of funny that it's basically turned into a Scouring of the Shire. We said we didn't want to include too many of those profiles because they're going to dominate, and here they are.
Well, don't mistake that Pippin for this Pippin. The Scouring Pippin is actually legitimate.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Okay, so finals. The finals of who is the worst hero of the game. We have Bill Ferney against Peregrine Took.
We've said everything about these profiles.
I mean, yep. I think Charles's argument is now winning out. What he just said, I think that works again. It works in this matchup.
Okay, here's my steel man argument. It is.
Sorry, that pause was just long enough. That was great.
So, yeah, like, the Legion, you are forced to take Bill Ferney. So that doesn't necessarily mean he's, like, better. But I guess the way you can see it is you're going to see him more often than a Peregrine Took. Because I don't think I've ever seen anyone take to a tournament, even if they're, like, trying to play thematic. And he's been around for much longer than Bill. So, you know, the fact that you haven't seen this profile on the board is pretty telling.
But, like, the reason you would even choose to take Bill Ferney when you have the choice is only for one scenario pool. I mean, and recon. But, like, only Maelstrom scenarios and recon will even matter. So you're, like, that's his specialty. And that's all he does.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to just both agree that both these profiles are a waste of points. Okay. You're just throwing points down the drain. But, like we already said, Peregrine is an independent hero. So you can argue that, you know, Bill Ferney, at the very least, he is a hero that can lead, you know, even if he's a net negative. So, like, that's kind of his use there. Like, he's doing something. I'm not saying I even agree with my own argument. I'm just giving the, you know, the opposite argument, because it seemed like you guys were set on him winning the whole thing. So
Pippen is bad, but I think part of him being bad is just because there are so many good choices. Like, if you took out like 10 of the captain level heroes, you know.
No. If there was no heroes in Minas Tirith except for the captain of Minas Tirith, which Ian has already said sucks, I think I would still go peer captains in a bare empty Minas Tirith list. So, you know, maybe I'll make this tough. You know, if Charles is voting for Bill, I'm going to vote for, you know, Pippin here, and then we'll see where the chips land. Make this okay. Close.
I like this. I'm going to vote Bill.
I want to flip a coin or something, man.
Hey, this is not the analysis that people tuned in for, okay? Give a reason.
Yeah, this is
deep
analysis, man.
Another argument for Bill. This is directed at Ian. So Bill Ferney is 40 points. That's 10 ruffians. Pippin is 25 points. That's 3 warriors of Minas Tirith.
3 warriors are of Minas Tirith are arguably better.
Ooh, the counter scrub.
They get the shield wall special rule.
As long as the 3 of them are huddled together. Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to return to the point that I just said like 5 minutes ago. The argument we have for Pippin, or one of the arguments we have, is that he can go into hero and heroic defense. And he can still die to 1-6. That's not very good at doing the one thing he might be able to actually do.
No, Ian!
I think Pippin might be worse.
No!
I mean, it's so hard to pick. Give them each half a point.
There's no tying, Ian.
I'll just say Pippin.
So it looks like Peregrine Took is our voted worst hero of the game. Viewers, let us know if you have a different pick for the worst hero of the game. Let us know if we have some that we forgot in our top 16. And also let us know if you would like to see more bracket videos and how you like this one. Thank you all for watching, and look forward to the next episode of Into the West podcast.